Three elves, battered and bruised, walk under the arch of the settlement of the Shining Circle. Diodi is using a walking stick, and Lydia is helping a weakened Willow walk. They have no idea how long it took them to get here, but after what they've been through, it doesn't really matter. They're all alive. That's what matters. And somehow, with Willow's ability to find just about anything, it seems, they found their way back here. As they move into the main thoroughfare of this settlement, people who recognize them start to point.
Hey, isn't that the people that were with Princess Abigail?
Oh my goodness, where have these people been?
They look terrible.
Goodness, there they are.
And in spite of all the people clearly talking about them, their minds are focused on two things. One, finding Luid and Abigail. Two, finding a place to take a well-deserved rest. So they push open the door to the hospital of the Brotherhood of Prosperity, and they step inside and see the comfort of a line of beds in front of them.
And inside this hospital, along the far walls next to some of the beds, are some of the Brotherhood members doing some unimportant menial tasks, but they stop what they're doing and they look at us as soon as we enter. And this hospital would seem rather quiet if it weren't for a distinct, aggressive muttering that we can hear muffled through the floor leading upstairs. Diodi, Lydia, and Willow all look to each other knowingly, recognizing those voices that are muttering to each other. And slowly, the three of them start making their way up the stairs, albeit struggling a little bit, with every step taking a lot of effort and energy. And as they make their way upstairs, they see more beds and the table at which they had breakfast the morning before the dance. And just past that table is a door that's closed, behind which this discussion is happening. And our group walks slowly up to the doorway.
Lydia makes sure that Willow is stable before she releases her and reaches for the door. But then the voices escalate, and we can hear the argument a bit more clearly.
Abigail, we've been over this. We need to go to the Ring of the Hand. We don't know how much time we have.
All right, Dakota, but this letter we received from Austeel, this is important. This deals with not only Luid's family, but everyone in Austeel. This is something we have to consider. I mean, you have to agree with me, right, Luid?
Abigail, Lydia and Diodi are still missing. We need to find them first, and then we can figure everything else out.
Yes, of course. And obviously, I agree that Diodi and Lydia are invaluable. But Luid, maybe if we solve some of these things back in Austeel, we can get people to help us look for Diodi and Lydia. Maybe even help us with the Ring of the Hand.
Right, Luid. We could maybe get more allies. This is a good opportunity.
Yes, I agree, Dakota. Abigail, I agree with everything, but Lydia and Diodi come first.
And while we hear this discussion, we didn't notice it. We were so caught up in listening to what we could hear from the other side of the door. But now we recognize a couple of footsteps on squeaky floorboards coming up behind us. And Lydia, you feel a hand, a light, gentle hand on your shoulder.
For the briefest moment, Lydia's instincts kick in, and she balls a fist, and she turns as if she's going to clock whatever this is in the face.
And Lydia, as you ready your fist and turn to see what or who is touching you, you can see the pleasant, smiling face of Lady Thebia. Oh dear, it's nice to see you too, Lydia. And she squeezes her hand a little bit tighter on your shoulder, and she says,
truly, it's nice to see that you're safe and okay. And we should probably let the others know that you're here too. Here, follow me.
And she steps between all of you and reaches for the door. She turns the knob and opens it. And as she does, Dakota, Abigail, and Luid all look to see who entered this door. And Thebia gently says, we have guests. And Abigail, Luid, and Dakota see three dirty elves, with parts of their clothes and skin in disarray. We can still see the light remnants of the glittery skull paint that's been scratched and smeared all over Diodi's face,
and as much as Lydia has tried to smear her paint from her face, there's still small speckles of it remaining, mixed with dirt.
Abigail, Dakota, and especially Luid, who they had overheard arguing for their safety to go and find them, they're all dumbfounded and stricken with silence as they see these three. After a moment, Luid is able to mutter out the simplest of words.
Lydia? Diodi? How?
And as if in response, Lydia just starts walking towards her brother, her shoulders tense, as if she's holding something inside of her. And when she reaches Luid, she just keeps walking. She presses her body into his. She doesn't wrap her arms around him. She just weakly rests her head on his shoulder, and Luid does the rest. He grabs his sister and wraps his arms around her in a comforting embrace.
That's right, gentlefolk. Our party is finally reunited, but numerous dangers require their immediate attention. Will our heroes stay the course and ride for the Ring of the Hand? Or will Corlys drag them back to Austeel? There's only one way to find out. So, listener, the time has come to roll and tell.
Welcome back to Roll and Tell. I'm Christian.
And I'm Jeffrey.
We are your players, your storytellers, and we're both being stored on an external hard drive at this very moment.
I don't think all my data made it over. I'm feeling a little bit, what's the word?
Corrupted. There's a corrupt file.
Yeah, I'm a corrupt file. Definitely. Yeah. That's me today. That's the energy I'm bringing.
You're probably feeling a little corrupted. Am I wrong because of who we are?
Oh yeah, you're probably right because we are two players, no game master, only corruption. Right now, we are downloading 20 Trojans onto your phone.
Yikes! Big yikes! All right, yeah. So we're here, and we just got to see this wonderful little cold open of our characters reuniting and returning to the Shining Circle. And after, four episodes, we're finally getting to see Abigail, Luid, Dakota, and Thebia again.
Yeah, and we also know now, this is a thing that we decided off mic, but Luid and Abigail have received word from Austeel about what's going on.
Yeah, so currently, we're kind of seeing the party being split a little bit, trying to decide what to do. Not a reflection of Jeffrey and me trying to decide what to do next either.
No way. We always know what's going on because this is scripted.
That's right. We have it in the script, what we'll be doing next. So this is all just kind of a little ploy to add some suspense.
That's right. And I hate when Christian goes off script and says stuff like that.
If I just get a single word wrong, I get put in the dungeon. So.
And you don't want to know what happens in the dungeon?
Well, okay, so yeah, on the table right now, we heard them discussing pushing towards the Ring of the Hand,
mm-hmm.
going back to Austeel,
mm-hmm.
trying to find Diodi and Lydia.
Check.
Yep, that last one has been checked.
Yeah.
So now, we're going to have to figure out how our characters decide whether to go back to Austeel or to keep pushing towards the Ring of the Hand.
So, I think a great way to get that ball rolling is for this scene to be, and we're probably going to start this scene the way they do in the movies, where they've already delivered a joke and then they're just saying the punchline, but that's the version of D.O.D.'s story about what happened.
Yeah.
And then the fairy stomped on my leg and I pushed them into oblivion. But I think that's the way we start. We're in medias res, in the middle of the conversation, of D.O.D. finishing explaining what happened, and then Abigail and Lewitt are going to explain about this letter. And then we make a decision what to do about it.
Yeah, which who knows how we'll make that decision?
Yeah.
Will we leave it up to fate, or will we actually decide?
I think we'll have to actually decide, because I know for a fact there are people in this party that do not want to go back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's the case. Did chaos go up or down at the end of the fairy scene? Probably down.
It went up.
Because,
yeah, because it was like, even though we came out of it alive and we had no failures, it was still like very, very chaotic and the world was falling apart. Willow got messed up. So, yeah, we're at a 3.
All right, Christian, would you do us the honors of consulting chaos and seeing if this scene happens the way we described it?
Absolutely. Chaos 3. I got another 10. I'm getting very lucky with those. So the scene just happens.
That's what it is. So let's just hop in and have this discussion.
All right, cool.
The party sits around a table. They've all been listening to D.O.D. explain just what happened to them in the fence.
And then Lydia and I jumped through. Right at the last possible moment, it feels like, in all thanks to Willow. She was the one that kept it open for us. And it was done. The fence was severed from the Wilderheath.
Wow. It's incredible. It's unbelievable.
I could have never, ever done this without Lydia or Willow. I'm in their debt forever. And I'm just so glad. I'm so glad that we were able to make it back to you guys.
Words cannot express how happy we are to have you back, Yodi, Lydia. And Willow, thank you. Truly, thank you for saving my sister and one of my dearest friends.
During all of this, Willow has been standing in the corner of the room, leaning against a wall, and she's been messing with the long, elbow-length black glove that is covering whatever happened to her. She's just been looking at it. And when she hears her name, she momentarily looks away towards Lewitt and then just nods, a little absent-mindedly.
And Abigail leans forward, reaching to grab both Lydia's and Diodi's hands.
As you reach forward, Lydia is quick to pull one of her hands away from Abigail, the one that is badly injured.
And Abigail reaches for the one that she didn't pull away, and she squeezes both Lydia's and Diodi's hands tightly, and she says,
"Thank the goddess of prosperity that both of you made it back safely. That sounds absolutely dreadful. And I was worried this whole time. Now it makes sense why you didn't get back to us, Diodi, but this whole time I was cursing because I wanted to find your stepmother. I wanted to find both of you. But now that you're both back, obviously you need as much rest as possible. But we need to figure out our next steps sooner rather than later."
And then Abigail looks to Lewitt.
"Because we still haven't decided what we need to do. I'm not sure how much you heard before you entered this room, but we did get word that Corliss is being questioned back in Austeel. Which is a wonderful thing for your family, Lydia. And I know that we have this plan to take back the Ring of the Hand. But I'm worried that if we don't take this opportunity now to go back to Austeel, we may miss it. This isn't just about taking down one corrupt person. This is about positively affecting the entirety of Austeel, making it a better place to live for everyone, including the Durrells."
In response, Dakota chimes in, raising a hand in the air, and says, "Also, I would just like to say that we only have a couple guys
so it might do us some good to have some new allies?
Diodi turns his head towards Luid, waiting to see what Luid's response to all of this is, as he's yet to say anything on the matter.
Luid is holding the letter they've received in his hand. He's not looking at it, but he is thinking about it. And I have a question. Who delivered this letter?
That is a good question.
Let's pose it this way. Did somebody we know deliver this letter?
I would have to put that at 50-50. I don't know.
All right, I'll give it a roll.
Okay.
That's a no.
Okay.
Someone we don't know. Let's subject and action it really quick.
Okay. I will grab action.
I'm subject.
Inquire.
Hope.
Inquire hope. I mean, obviously it's someone who's like, I'll take this to Luid, anything to bring them back to like fix Austeel, you know?
I don't know why I'm getting the idea of it's some little messenger boy.
That would be very funny. I would think that's very funny.
Yeah, because Inquire Hope is like, oh, I'll get it to Luid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just some little...
I'm picturing that classic kid from like the 20s that's like, extra, extra.
Yeah,
like,
extra,
he's
extra.
He's got the little hat on.
Read all about it. Yeah, it's
yeah,
okay.
But instead it's like, I got a letter for you from yeah. Llewellyn.
Yeah, it's probably someone Llewellyn works with because she's a town crier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be very good.
It's some kid Llewellyn works with. I don't need to know the details about them. I just wanted to know generally so Luid could say this. This letter was the last thing that Luid was expecting to receive. And when they were in the middle of panicking about Diodi and Lydia, when this little boy on a horse came riding into town just demanding if Luid Durell was here, he never expected that he would have to possibly go back to Austeel so soon. And he's torn. Finally, he speaks.
Well, yes, everything they've said is true. Corlys is being questioned for wrongdoing, and they want to hear Lady Thebia and my side of the story. It could be our only chance to rid this city of a terrible shadow that has been lingering over it for a long time. But I can't help but wonder if it's a trap. And also, Lydia, none of this changes anything for you. You would be in danger if we went back there.
And Lydia leans back, bites the inside of her cheek a little bit, and nods.
And Thebia, from behind everybody, sitting in a chair with her legs crossed, just nods her head, and she says,
And I'm going to have to agree with Luid. We are not certain who could have actually written and sent this note. I mean, the letter was signed with Llewellyn's name, of course, but it wouldn't be beneath Corlys to forge something like this. And frankly, Lydia, you are a wanted criminal of Austeel no matter what happens to Corlys, especially in Solene's eyes. So, my input is that we do with what we have here. We have plenty of people in the Shining Circle who we could maybe train and get ready for the Ring of the Hand. And then, maybe, once we get the Ring of the Hand for Abigail, we could use whatever negotiation powers we have there to go back to Austeel.
So, Diodi, Lydia, you can see that we've reached an impasse. And, well, now that you're back, I suppose... Here. Why don't we just get this over with? Let's put it to a vote.
Diodi looks to Lydia, nudges her, so that she knows he's looking at her. And then he just whispers,
Lydia, I trust you. What do you think?
Lydia, still in a deep lean in her chair, looks at Diodi for a long period of time. And then she says,
Okay, let's get it over with. Let's vote. I vote. Yay. Let's go back.
And I think this surprises Luid more than anybody, but he can't see what's going on in her head.
She watched Diodi break down when he realized he was truly free. She wants that. She wants that feeling too.
and she knows she can never have it by running away.
And Diodi sits straight and looks at the room, and he says, "All right, if my best friend wants to go back, then we're going back. I'm with Lydia."
Willow looks at the two of you, and then she takes a moment and she says, "Honestly, I have no idea if my opinion means anything here, but if Yodi thinks we should go back, I side with them."
And Abigail, almost reluctant to once again state her opinion that they should go back, because now she knows the vote will outweigh Luid and Thebia. She looks into Luid's eyes, considering how he's feeling and thinking. And she reaches out her hand, gesturing and asking Luid to put his into hers.
And Luid does so. He places his hand in hers.
And Abigail says softly to Luid, "I'm asking you to trust us. If anything seems off, then we will abandon returning. We will leave immediately. But this is for you and the rest of Austeel. And then maybe this might just give us the resources we need to actually take on the Ring of the Hand. This would be the start to a better Wilderheath, Luid."
And before Luid can speak, Dakota chimes in. "Even though it seems like it's not necessary to say, I'm all for it and I vote yay." Hearing that, Luid turns towards Lady Thebia and sees where she's at now. Now that everyone seems to be in favor of going back to Austeel.
And Thebia gives a small smile, but lightly closes her eyes as she says this out loud. "You cannot fight a river. Sometimes you just have to go with the flow. And at this point, I have seen nothing but good things from all of you. I'm okay with going back."
Okay. Well, frankly, we've been through a lot worse than one corrupt ruler. We've stopped a revolution. We've healed a magical forest. We've pushed a fairy into oblivion. We can handle this. Together, whatever they throw at us, we can take it. Let's return. It's time to go home.
Abigail takes your hand, pulls you in, and gives you a light kiss.
This is a toughie in terms of chaos.
Yeah.
Luid, I don't know that Luid wanted this.
And there were a lot of people that somehow the ones who did convince those who were unsure or didn't.
Yeah, and I also feel like Lydia's yes is chaotic. Mm-hmm. Because she knows this is a choice that is plunging her into a situation she has no control over.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like chaos goes up.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It's not part of the original plan.
Yeah, so. It is not, no.
So that puts us up to a 4.
Okay. I like being in the 4-6 range.
It's a good range. Good chaos range.
Because, you know, 50-50 is near actual 50-50 in those.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Christian, this scene must be them preparing to depart and figuring out who's going with them?
I think so, yeah. Which it feels strange to say because it feels like so much has happened in this episode already now. But yeah, I think it's them preparing to go back.
Yeah.
Which feels like a step back in what we're accomplishing. But in reality, if we look at it similarly to the chess game that we just experienced the previous 4 episodes, the moves we make here can benefit us with our push towards the Ring of the Hand. This is the step forward in the story. So I think this is going to be very, very beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I don't see it as a step backwards. And if it is a step backwards, it's 2 steps forward.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this scene is the party prepares to depart and decides who goes with them.
Okay.
I got it. Oh, yeah. It's out of chaos.
Nice. All right. Cool.
Okay. I really thought it would be under.
Yeah, I will never complain about not having interruptions. Alters are right. Fine. Interruptions make me upset.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it. just about 2 days later, we see a sun-soaked, shining circle. The sun is beaming down upon everybody and everything, and it is a beautiful day. There are unfamiliar and familiar faces helping take things from the hospital out to the carriage. And Diodi is standing outside with his walking cane. But it looks like a brand new actual walking cane. On top of it, with the handle, it looks as if the snake tooth has been polished and carved down to be used as the handle itself. And Diodi is standing there, leaning on his new walking cane, keeping all of the weight off of his leg that has a brand new cast on it. And Diodi's looking at Luid. Curiously, he asks, Luid, how did this letter find you anyway? This person, how did they know where you were?
Luid had just finished placing a chest in the back of the carriage, and as it drops, you hear that it is full of coins, and it must be the remainder of whatever Luid was able to sell that gem for. And as he hears your question, he laughs.
Well, Diodi, the messenger that delivered the letter said that they had asked a guard near the city gates, and this guard had seen a suspicious woman driving Lady Celine's carriage out of town. And after that, a few messengers went out, following the direction they were told, and one of them found me here.
All right, I'll accept it. Right after that, Abigail walks out of the hospital, walks over to Diodi and Luid, and she asks, okay, so are we bringing anyone else with us other than Dakota? And obviously Thebia's coming with us too. And I'm assuming Willow's coming, but is Willow coming? Is that everybody? Should we confirm with Willow? What about Ven? I just don't know how much room we have in the carriage.
And then Dakota chimes in once again. Right, and we should probably confirm with Dakota too.
And Abigail turns around, gives Dakota a look, and says, okay, Dakota, then who all is coming with us?
I don't know. I'm just saying maybe we should confirm with Dakota to make sure that maybe their efforts aren't better here, preparing for a future invasion or something. I don't know.
Oh, right. Of course, I'd completely forgotten that you would just stay here while we head back to Austeel, do all the hard work. You don't pick up a finger, and we'll come back and give you all of the benefits. Right.
I am so happy that you understand. I'll let Dakota know.
Abigail does give a little chuckle, but it's a good point that Dakota brought up. That's something that Abigail hadn't thought about. Actually, Dakota, that's not a terrible idea. Maybe you could stay back here and talk to everyone at the Shining Circle about the things we were talking about a few days ago. Seeing who would be on board with going back to the Ring of the Hand. Maybe you could start training some of them and making them ready to go. You know, your dad, General Everhart, he always knew the best way to get people in shape, to train them.
Yeah, about that, let me put it this way, Abigail. I have a big old brain, but none of it knows how to train an army.
Well, need I remind you that none of us know how to train an army, and that you are probably our best bet.
Well, I do have someone on which I can depend, and he's a soldier. His name is Ven.
Well, I am sure that the two of you can work together, figure something out to train people at the Shining Circle and have them ready by the time we get back.
Okay, yeah, just don't be surprised when you come back and we have a ragtag militia that is able to be defeated by a strong gust of wind.
You know, it's shocking, Dakota. The day that I have more confidence in you than you do yourself.
Fine, fine. I may not believe in myself on this one, but I would never bail on you, my dearest friend, Princess Abigail.
Abigail puts her arms up in the same way that Dakota and Abigail have always done in the past for their personal little secret handshake, waiting for Dakota to follow suit.
And they do. And together they move through the motions of their secret handshake.
And as they finish that handshake, Abigail says, there's a reason you have my mother's necklace. I trust you with anything.
You've got this, Dakota.
Okay. I got this. You're right. You know what? You're right. I got this.
Lydia comes out of a building carrying a crate of what looks like more than enough rations for our journey there and back. And Willow is accompanying her. They're not speaking to each other. Willow's been kind of quiet the past 2 days. But Lydia has been keeping an eye on her, not because she doesn't trust her, but because, frankly, they're only alive because of her. And together they walk up to the carriage. Lydia places the crate inside and then turns to the rest of the group, leaning against the back of the carriage with her arms crossed. All right, we just need Lady Thebia, and then everyone will be here. But, Willow, I know the last time we met, well, I didn't trust you. But I have no reason but to trust you implicitly and explicitly now. And if you want to accompany us, you're more than welcome from me. And Luid turns to Diodi and waits to see what he might say.
And Diodi looks longingly at Willow. Inside, he wants her to join so badly. But he knows better than to assume that she would join. And he just says to Willow, I would really love it if you came along as well.
I think we need to ask Fate if she will.
I'm not going to give a great odds?
No, yeah.
Because she's still... It's still... We don't know everything, but it still feels like her will is not her own.
Yeah.
Entirely.
No.
I would put it at very unlikely.
I'll roll. Yeah, that's a no. Suddenly, when we speak to her, it's like the silence that Willow has been harboring these past 2 days has been leading up to this, when she would have to say these words.
Luid, I appreciate that. And Yodi, I would like nothing more than to stay with you, but I simply can't.
Diodi takes a step forward, places the walking cane in front of his foot, leans on it closer to Willow, and he says,
Willow, I don't want to go who knows how long again, wondering if I will see you again. I would really love it if you just did stay with us. I'm just asking you to reconsider.
Parlay. You're definitely leveraging something that she wants, which is you.
What's my charisma?
Plus 44, right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. My charisma is a zero. Okay. It's a failure.
Oh, no.
It's a failure.
Oh, no. Oh, shucks. Oh, man.
Back to the failures we go. I'm just going to use one luck to see if Diodi can get Fate on his side.
Yeah, we never know when a giant dragon's going to come swooping out of the sky and you might need it.
It was worse. Yeah, I'm going to take that as a sign. It was actually a worse roll.
Yeah.
It was snake eyes that time. So
it is really feeling like Fate is saying there's something more here that you can't overpower.
Yeah. I'm just going to take it how it is.
Willow watches and listens as you give your heartfelt plea for her to go with you. And Diodi, she looks away from you, covering her mouth with her hands, and you see her eyes start to water.
Diodi, nothing would make me happier than to stay with you. But I did not say that I wouldn't do it. I said I can't. I can't stay with you.
And Diodi just nods his head knowingly. At this point, he knows why. But then he asks,
So then, are you heading back today? Do you need to stay any longer here at the Shining Circle? Get one last thing to eat before you head out?
Willow looks at Abigail in particular before looking away. And she doesn't say this looking at you. She just says,
She'll be expecting me as soon as possible.
Well, then maybe I can walk you to the edge of town to say goodbye.
I'd like that, Diodi. I would like that.
And Diodi holds out one hand for Willow.
Willow reaches out with one of her gloved hands, and there's trepidation there. It's not a trepidation to hold your hand, but you remember what hand that is, and you remember seeing it, scorched, charred with crackling blue energy. She places her hand in yours, and you can tell on her face that she's not sure if it hurts or not.
And just to be sure, Diodi holds it lightly, just in case.
as he leads Willow to the edge of town, to the entrance to the Shining Circle.
Lydia watches carefully as D.O.D. leads Willow to the entrance of town, and she can't help it. She's been trained her whole life to see people as tools, to look for leverage. She has a vague idea of this person's connection to whatever is going on at the Ring of the Hand. That old part of her wants to say something, that we could use her, that we could capture her. But instead, she looks at D.O.D. holding her hand, and she remembers that warm current that rushed through her in the tree, that feeling of love, of passion. And she shakes her head and banishes the thought from her mind. This is a person, not a tool, not leverage. And it's someone that her best friend cares about more than anything. And even though it's not ideal, she decides to let this person walk right out of town. And unbeknownst to Lydia, Luid is watching her. He sees her body shift. The thoughts run through her head as she's looking at Willow. And then he sees her relax and look away. And Luid can't explain it, but he knows something is different about her. And he just smiles to himself and nods at his sister.
And Luid, you then feel the presence of Abigail approaching you. As she gets closer, wraps one of her arms around your waist, rests her head on your chest, and says to you quietly, so no one else can hear, "We've probably got to do something about that. D.O.D. deserves it."
Luid gently kisses the top of Abigail's head, and he says, "Yes, we will."
And it's not longer than a short moment before D.O.D. and Willow reach the archway to the Shining Circle, and D.O.D. stops, leaning on his walking cane, and slowly lets go of Willow's hand as he looks at her in the eyes. And to D.O.D., these gray eyes are the most beautiful eyes he's ever seen, so it feels impossible to not look at them. And he looks deeply as he says,
I know that you can't stay with us, but I thought I would ask anyway, you know, just in case something had changed. There was a sliver of hope that something was different now. But I understand, and I promise to you, Willow, I promise. No matter what, I will come back for you. And I'm not sure how everything will pan out. You know, I can't see the future. But I know one thing certain, that I will do whatever it takes to have you in that future.
Willow listens, and the irony isn't lost on her. D.O.D. says that he can't see the future, but she can. And she's seen something. And I want to ask, what is it? I want to roll a subject action to see something that she knows about D.O.D.'s future. D.O.D. and her.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take an action.
Okay.
Oh, my action is destroy.
Extravagance.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't sound good at all.
Willow closes her eyes as she is stricken by an image in that haze that she sees the future in. And she sees two figures, one that looks like D.O.D. and one that looks like her. And they approach, and then there's nothing. Nothing at all. Willow opens her eyes, looks at D.O.D., smiles kindly, and says, "I know you will, Yodi. I know."
And D.O.D. steps closer and gets very close to Willow's face. And he says,
"This is goodbye for now, but not forever."
And he goes in to kiss Willow on her lips.
I'm going to ask Fate if she kisses you back, but I'm going to give it high odds.
Okay.
Nearly certain. She loves you.
Okay. Nearly certain.
Wow, that was really close to a no.
But it's a yes.
Willow closes her eyes, and she kisses you back. And the two of you share a sweet kiss in the morning sun.
And D.O.D.'s heart goes chaotically wild, and his body feels that desire and pure joy and hope, everything that he had felt in the fence but more. And after a short moment, they pull away from each other. And D.O.D., one more time, as he looks towards Willow, he says,
"Thank you again for everything. I'll see you soon, Willow. Please stay safe.
Willow opens her eyes as if she's awaking from pure bliss back to someplace she doesn't want to be. And she says, "You're welcome, Yodi. And I know we'll see each other again. I feel like it's destined that we'll meet again."
Yodi smiles broadly, nods his head, gives a small wave with his hand that's not on his cane, and he begins to walk back into the Shining Circle.
Willow watches you walk away, takes a deep breath, turns, and slowly starts walking towards the horizon. Yodi, you come back to the rest of the party, and it's like everyone's waiting for you. They're all looking at your face to see how you're doing.
And Yodi looks at everyone staring at him, and he just gives a big smile. Not sure if he's faking it or if he really means it. He doesn't understand himself if this is a genuine smile or not, but he is happy. After his first real kiss with Willow, and knowing that he's back with all of his friends, the only thing that wouldn't give him a reason to be happy is the fact that Willow had to leave. And so he reminds himself of that. He realizes his smile is genuine. And he asks everybody, "All right, are we ready to get on the road? Is everything packed? Do we have everything set up? I'm ready for this."
"Good. Well, we're just waiting on Lady Thebia."
And serendipitously, the door to the hospital opens up, and Lady Thebia, still wearing her beautiful new dress, walks casually towards the carriage, and she says, "Sorry about that. I was finishing up inside, making sure that we had gotten everything. Is everybody ready?"
Lydia pushes off the back of the carriage and just says, "Yeah, I've been ready. Let's go."
And Thebia claps her hands together, and she says, "I agree. Let's get on the road, everybody. Let's head back to Austeel."
And Luid approaches Skychaser, but as Lydia comes up behind Luid, Skychaser seems a little bit more excited to see Lydia after everything they've been through. And Luid just sighs and says, "All right, do you want to share the horse, or should I get on the bench of the carriage?" "Well, Luid, you know, you got a girlfriend. I've got a horse, so go hang out with her and I'll hang out with this one." And Luid laughs as he's walking towards the bench of the carriage and says, "That's my horse, Lydia. Don't forget it."
And Abigail begins climbing on the front of the carriage onto the bench. And she says, "Well, I guess I'm driving again. So everybody else, hop in."
And Luid, who is already sitting on the bench with you, gives you a side eye and says, "Well, Abigail, you've proven time and again that you are the best one with directions."
Abigail gives him a hard nudge with her elbow. And Diodi is walking up to the door to the carriage, but he looks to Dakota. He makes one last comment before he steps into the carriage.
"Dakota, thank you again for everything that you've done for us. And hopefully we won't be too long. When we're done, we'll come right back. I'll make sure of it, that everyone does. We'll be ready to take back your home, okay?"
"Yeah, sure. And keep an eye on that one. Make sure she doesn't stay away too long this time. She really kept me waiting."
Diodi taps his cane more towards the front of the carriage to kind of get Abigail's attention. And he says,
"I promise. You hear that, Abigail? You can't run away this time. I'll make sure. Just get in the stupid carriage, Diodi."
And Diodi hops in.
As that happens, Dakota runs up to the front of the carriage and says, "Did you hear that, Abigail? You got Diodi, and he's going to be on you like a flea."
Abigail does everything in her ability to not smile at that rhyme. But then Thebia hops into the carriage behind Diodi, closes the door, and then hangs her head out the window of the carriage. And she says,
"We're all good back here, Abigail. Whenever you're ready."
And Abigail takes one more look at Dakota and just says, "I promise."
As you utter those words and you turn to whip the reins of the horses and move onward, you hear a growing throng. You realize that slowly but surely, this entire village of people have come out of their homes, out of their workplaces, and they are standing behind the carriage, wondering what exactly is happening. They look worried, they look confused, but mostly they look afraid. Afraid that you might be abandoning them again.
Abigail stands up on the bench of the carriage to look at everybody. As she turns around and she sees all these faces facing her, she shouts out,
"Listen, I know what it looks like, and I promise I promise that I'm not leaving for good this time. This is just something that's come up, and I promise I will be back as soon as possible. I know I haven't explained everything or anything since I've been back, and that is on me. But you have my word that everything that I'm doing is for the benefit of you as my people. Currently, we are headed back to Austeel, and we are going to get help to take back the Ring of the Hand.
Give me a parlay roll.
I think Abigail's charisma is better than... Oh, it's much better. Yeah, I forgot she has good charisma.
Yeah, she's got two.
It's a semi-success.
As you speak, as you say those words, you hear a pulse go through this crowd, a murmuring. You hear voices.
What did she just say?
I don't understand.
Take back the castle? Is she talking about our whole...
The Ring of the Hand?
That can't happen.
How can we even...
It's absurd.
There's no way.
How? Tell us how. You feel a tug at your side. It's Luid. And Luid looks into your eyes, and he whispers,
"Don't give up. We all believe in you. Remember, we're going to fight. No matter the odds, we're going to fight together."
And Abigail swallows with a small pang of fear in her chest. But she nods, and she continues to nod at what you just said.
"Listen, I have been afraid to return to the Ring of the Hand, as many of you have. I'm afraid of what happened to our people. But there's nothing more important to me than my people. You have all lost a home that you did not deserve to lose, and no matter how we decide to go about this together, one thing I know for certain is that I will do anything I can to fight for you. To fight for the Ring of the Hand and the Shining Circle and the people that make up this community. And right now, we are going to go get help to do that. And we are going to bring back whoever we can to help that fight. I will be by all of your sides as we head to the Ring of the Hand, and I will not leave your side until my dying breath."
Luid looks up at you and smiles. He's so proud of what you've just done. And Dakota, still near the front of the carriage, whispers to themselves, "Now that's not a princess. That's a queen." And Dakota walks to the back of the carriage, and as if they were on stage again, throws out their hands and says, "Within our palm." And there's a moment, and then we hear a voice, a singular voice from the crowd respond, "Lives a song." And Dakota looks, and there's a half-elf in the crowd, tall, all in black with an eye patch, that nods at her. And Dakota repeats more confidently, "Within our palm."
And then more people shout out, "Lives a song."
"Within our palm.
Lives a song.
A song. Within our palm.
Lives a song.
Within our palm.
Lives
a song. Within our palm.
Lives a song.
Within our palm.
Lives a song.
Within our palm.
Lives a song.
Within our palm.
Lives a song."
Lydia looks back at all the people cheering and then looks at Abigail and just says to herself, "Wow. Shit."
Abigail, mouthing to herself, but not actually saying anything, while she's staring at the crowd, says, "Within our palm lives a song." And then she nods her head to the crowd, turns back around, sits down on the bench, picks up the reins, and begins guiding the horses in the carriage out of the Shining Circle and back in the direction toward Austeel. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Into the Wilderheath 15. It's crazy how far we've come. Roll and Tell is produced by Jeffrey Sneed and edited by Christian Pollock, and fact-checked by Maddie, the Keeper of Lore.
Maddie, you can't keep doing this.
Anyway, First and foremost, we want to thank our Patreon supporters over at our Patreon. You guys are all incredible, helping us pay for sound libraries, podcast hosting, and helping us take steps towards making this what we do for a living, so thank you so much. If you want to support us, the link to our Patreon is in the description of this episode. If you really love our show or really liked a specific episode and want to support us in some way, but feel like you're not in a position to make a monthly donation, that's okay. You can check out our Buy Me a Coffee. The link is also in the description of this episode, where you can make a single donation just to show your thanks. And any donation means the world to us. It shows us that we're doing a good job, and it makes us feel like we're making an impact on you. So thank you so much. I don't know if you heard, but we are Audioverse Award winners now. Jeffrey and I both got awarded Best Player Direction for a new production. So we're obviously super stoked about that, and we want everyone to know about our show. So if you're really, really enjoying it, if you don't mind spreading the word about us on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, that would be awesome. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at RollAndTellPod. Also, if you want to connect with us personally, check out our Discord. You can join our server and talk to us whenever you want. We're active almost daily. Anyway, it's crazy to think that we're going back to Austeel after just having left it not long ago. But obviously a lot has happened since we did leave. And now Luid, Lydia, Abigail, Diodi, and Thebia are headed back to plead their case to the Austeel family. Are we going to be able to make it back safely? Who or what might just be waiting to greet us at the doors to Austeel? We don't know. But you can find out with us next time as we roll and tell.
Are you struggling to schedule game nights, or worse yet, having them cancel at the last minute? Turning your tears of joy into tears of despair.
Yes.
Well then,
Happy Tuesday.
My name's Nick.
And my name is Alan. And we are
Into the Dungeon,
a duet-style actual play TTRPG podcast with one GM and one player. Don't let anybody tell you that size matters.
Oh no.
And come, give us a listen to see how much fun a TTRPG can be with just two people.
We release a new episode every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Central European Time. Make sure to visit us at www.i2td.com. That's the digit 2.
Until then, farewell and hope to see you again as we delve
into the dungeon.